So I want to be very honest with you today about my own Christian journey and start by talking about the fact that I can go through this peak and valley experience, and I can do it repeatedly. Now, what do I mean by that? There are times in which I am so confident of the presence of God, the fact that He hides treasures in every present moment, confident of His care, that He surrounds me, that He's looking out for me, that I can trust Him, as Scripture says, to lean on Him because I can trust Him. And I just see God place His hand on us in countless ways. I can just give you a couple that have occurred in the last few days. I was doing a seminar. I happened to mention to the folks that I was headed to Fort Bragg to do a seminar for a bunch of Army chaplains and officers, and that because of the size of the crowd, I was going to need to take some folks with me, and that Healing Care Ministries had decided they would fund them, and I mentioned that. Well, wouldn't you know that in this little group of 15 people, some of them decided that they wanted to help, and they provided funds that were more than adequate to take these people with me in order to support this ministry. And it happened with lightning speed, and I see God doing that in so many ways. It's amazing the degree to which the Lord is faithful and true, and I'm able to give Him praise and honor because of how good He is. Now, having said that, let me go to the other side. There are also times where I find myself wondering if God even hears my prayers. Does He even care? Now, I know that could shock you, but I want to be blatantly honest here, that there are these peaks when God seems so close, and there are those valleys where it seems like God, well, He's just not as attentive to the issues that I'm concerned about. And when I begin to go back and forth like this in my own Christian faith, I become embarrassed because of what I would see as my lack of faith. I mean, I need to be faithful and true and joyous and confident as much in the valley as I am on the mountaintop. I know that to be true, but I also know to be true that I'm not always that way. And so I can beat myself and cry out and do a lot of apologizing to God. Now, I've mentioned to you that I spend time reading through the Bible, and I was reading Psalms yesterday, and my focus was on two particular psalms, Psalm 21 and Psalm 22. And as I looked at Psalm 21 and Psalm 22, both written by David, I went, oh my gosh, this issue of peaks and valleys is not new, and it's not singularly focused on me, and it's certainly not news to God. So in Psalm 21, David is full of excitement, and he's full of praise. He talks about rejoicing in the strength of the Lord and how great his joy is because of all the victories God has given him. He has scriptures like this: you have granted him, the king himself, his heart's desires. You've not withheld his requests. You greet him with rich blessings and you place a crown of pure gold on his head. You've made him glad with the joy of your presence, God. Now, all of this, it just keeps going on and on. And he talks about how faithful God is, how good God is, how he's pushed back his enemies. And it ends with this: be exalted, O God, in all of your strength. And Lord, we will sing and praise your might. Isn't that good? Yeah, that's the kind of water I want to swim in all the time. That's the mountaintop I wish I could live on every single day, confident of what God has done, looking at all the blessings, great and small, speaking out praise to the Lord. Oh, by the way, I did mention that I spend some time in the valley, don't I? So here's this great psalm, a psalm of praise. Now, the very next one, Psalm 22, begins like this: my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? Now, this psalm is even longer, and it goes on and on about, yes, God, you are good, and you are enthroned, and you are the one that we praise, but I'm worn out. Where are you? People are picking on me. It seems it says that you are far from me. Trouble is near, and there is no one here to help me. He then goes on in verse 19, and he cries out to the Lord and says, don't be far. You are my strength. Come quickly to me. Deliver me. The psalm goes on, and it talks about the fact that God is faithful and good, but that at this point, he needs God to come and to touch him and to be near him. Now, he does again end this psalm with praise and talks about that God's people will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn that God has done it, that God has been faithful. But can you see that there are these kind of two postures that David is taking? On the one hand, he's on the mountaintop. He's seeing all that God is doing. He's thankful for the fact that God has, in many ways, answered his prayers and been attentive to his needs. And then he goes to this next time where it's as if the clouds have rolled in and he's crying out and saying, why have you forsaken me? Now, why am I going here? Because, well, it's instructive in my own Christian journey. God's been faithful to me. He's been good. He's caused my ministry to flourish. He's been faithful in terms of watching over my life. And yet there are those times when the clouds roll in and the opposition rises and the oppression seems too heavy, and I find myself, like David, crying out, oh God, where are you? So what's the point I want to bring here? That I think this contrast is part of the Christian journey. It's like journeying through the mountains. You have times when you're in a wonderful meadow and the flowers are bright and the sun is shining and the ground is flat. But then there are other times when you're descending into rocky crags or you're trying to ascend a very difficult mountain and it gets hard. And maybe the sun is blocked from view. And my point is, number one, this seems to be normal. It's a normal part of the Christian journey. As long as in both places we're able to end with doxology, end with saying, God, you are faithful and you are good, we're aligning ourselves with the truth, even though at times our feelings are not necessarily there. I think a second thing that this psalm tells us is that we do live in the now and the not yet. Now, I know we've mentioned this in the past, but let me go over it again. There are moments when it seems like the kingdom of God has invaded our presence and we are living now, tasting what the not yet would be. I've seen it. Great answers to prayer, people getting healed, individuals turning to God with salvation. I remember a time when I was pastoring Risen King Community Church in Redding, California, where it just seemed like heaven opened above us and we were seeing all kinds of wonderful answers to prayer and people were coming to Christ in a 2 or 3 month period. We saw 60, 70 people, 70 adults come to Christ. It was amazing. The whole idea that the not yet has invaded the now. But there are also times when in the now, we are reminded that we are not yet fully in the kingdom, where it seems like it's harder. The path is more difficult. It's not as easy to reap all the benefits of answered prayer, the now and the not yet. And I think what we often do, or at least I do, is when I'm in a season of not yet, I start wondering how I'm doing. Did I pray the right way? Did I use the right formula? Have I exercised enough faith? Because something's wrong. I'm not getting the answer as quickly as I want. But the other side of it is that we are not yet fully in the kingdom. And there are moments when the kingdom of God rushes in like a wave. And there are other times when it's not as present. Now add to that a third issue, is that we are living in a world where there are enemies. And we face those spiritual enemies. And there are times when that oppression is heavy. I think of the story in the book of Daniel where he was praying, and it was weeks before he got his answer to prayer. And the angel that brings the answer says that God heard the prayer as soon as it was uttered. But there was a warfare that was going on in the heavenlies. And so there's part of this that you can see in Psalm 21 and Psalm 22. God, you are so good. You are so close. You are so near. God, where are you? I can't find you. God, you're answering all my prayers. God, be not far from me. Part of this is the normal Christian life. Part of this is our experiences of the now and not yet. Part of this is the fact that we face spiritual warfare. And I think there is one more point to raise on this, and that is, in both cases, Psalm 21 and Psalm 22, the psalmist makes it his business to end with praise. My friends, there's something about the power of praise. Scripture talks about that. God's enemies being defeated to the sound of timbrel and tambourine. David says in the Psalms that you have to have a word of praise on your lips and a sword in your hands. There is a relationship between praise, even when things are difficult. Jehoshaphat leads the army to battle with the choir up front. Who does that? Well, it's a spiritual principle. And so let me just review this point. The journey we're on has level ground and tough places. And there are times when it seems God is so close and his answers are there and we give him praise. But there are also times when it's harder and it seems like God is distant, though he is not. But even then, and we give him praise. It's normal, my friends. It's part of the now and the not yet. It's part of living in a world where there is evil coming against us. But remember, in both cases, give praise. Be honest about your cry. Honest about your gratefulness. And give God praise. It helped me to see these two psalms side by side. I guess in some ways, I'm more normal than I thought.